We know that we have access to 5% of consciousness, right? And this means that 95% of unconscious programs sort of is running the show. And we are in the illusion that we make conscious choices from this
Welcome
place.
To the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their ecstasy. I'm your host, Alara Sage. My beloveds, you know, one of the best topics that I just adore to talk about is sex and sexuality. And our experience of this process is humans, because it's just one of those conversations, one of those topics that has been perhaps radically misunderstood, kind of void, right, for most of us. And it's so important to bring it into context of spirituality and the evolution of our consciousness. So we have a wonderful guest here today who is going to help us with this conversation. Ulrika Carlson is an intuitive empath who has a history of depression and suicide. At one point in her life, she had to choose between life and death. What a powerful, powerful point in life, right? And she obviously chose life because here she is. And through that became a very powerful healer and now has 30 years experience both in Western and Eastern philosophy. She's a spiritual healer, a medicine woman, an international author, a reader of the Akashic Records, and a yoga instructor. Ulrika, thank you so much for being here with us today. Yes. So what do you think the key factor is in the majority of sexual experiences that really creates that kind of feeling of lackluster? Maybe, you know, the feeling like it's not really showing up as we would desire. I ask this question because for me, for most of my life, I was very highly sexual, and then sex never felt like I wanted it to feel, right? Until I had a spiritual awakening. So what do you find with regards to that question?
So we're like multidimensional beings. And I think that yes, that question is like multidimensional also. But for me, I think that most people are not connected to their sexually fully self and their potential, because most of us, we are disconnected and we are conditioned with a lot of unconscious programs. We know that we have access to 5% of consciousness, right? And this means that 95% of unconscious programs sort of is running the show, and we are in the illusion that we make conscious choices from this place. So I would say that, like, and it's so distorted due to the programs that we have individually and are also transmitting out into the collective consciousness. So I think there's so much to it. But for me, I was so disconnected from my sexuality and my sensuality, as I was so much in my headspace. So I wasn't connected to my body and to my feminine side, nor to my masculine side. I was just like a thinking and walking head. And the way that the world looks today, that we also emphasize to be, you know, problem solvers and to be very much in our mind, I think that is very disconnecting to our sexual force, the divine sexuality, the sacred sexuality, or the holy fuck. As I sometimes call it. And for me, the sexuality is like, everything is from divine source, right? And the sacred sexuality is actually the creative force, the force that creates creations, like from babies to beautiful arts, etc., etc. So I think most of us, unfortunately, are quite disconnected and too much up in the headspace.
Absolutely. And I also feel like a lot of people aren't really aware of how disconnected they truly are. I know that I wasn't. You know, even as I entered my spiritual journey, I didn't. I mean, if you would have asked me if I felt disconnected from people and things, I may have said yes, but it wasn't like this blaring sensation that I was disconnected. And yet, every time that I deepened into my body, released shame, right, and opened up deeper into my Shakti and my pussy and my womb, I really could see, oh, how much I was disconnected then, you know, and then I would open up deeper and then, okay, how much I was disconnected then, and then open up deeper and the process through that, you know, sometimes hindsight is 20/20, right? So what do you feel like? I always like to bring in reflections for people so perhaps that they can identify these things in their life. What would you say are some, you know, symptoms or examples or ways that maybe people are disconnected that they're not connecting to, that they're disconnected?
Good question. So everything that you can use, you can also abuse, right? And we are living in times where there's limitless distractions and things that we can numb ourselves with. So we can numb ourselves with everything from work to food to sex to alcohol, etc. And one of the symptoms of being disconnected is that you have problems of relaxing, or that you are too much in your headspace, like, you know, thinking about it too much, having expectations on yourself or your partner, or how it would look like or how it would feel like. So it's like, you know, like imagining. And I'm not saying that imagination is bad, because it's good, but it needs to be embodied. It needs to be anchored, because if I'm all the way up here, we know that, like, the woman's yoni means the divine portal. And that's the vagina or pussy or whatever we like to call it. And so if we are too much in the headspace, we know that yoni is not juicy and, you know, the lubrication is not working. And then it can be quite painful to have sex. And every time if we have, like, full intercourse and we are disconnected from our heart, it is actually quite damaging for us as souls because the yoni is also like a portal, right? So we allow men with their sacred genital, it's called lingam, which means pillar of light. So we allow their energy to come into our energy field, into our energy space. So women we need to be relaxed in order to have sex. But for men, they can use sex as a tool to become relaxed. So it's also different angles on how to. So there's so many ways that we can be disconnected from our sexuality. We can be mental about it. We can also look at too much hardcore porn, or, you know, like, I have two teenagers and I have no idea what they're looking at the computer in their own room, because there's so much out there. And if also, like, young people, they don't have anybody to talk to, they can also have this distorted view that sex is something that they have seen on hardcore porn platforms. And every time that we have sex with ourselves or others, and we're disconnected from our hearts, it's actually damaging, both for men and for women. Yes, so the yoni, the vagina, remembers everybody that you have ever been with. It's like their energy is forever stored. So if we have been through, you know, rape, sexual violations, how do you say in English? You have sex if you don't want to, but somebody is nagging you. Come on, let's do it. So every time... Exactly. So every time that we allow anybody to enter without being in the heart, it is, it's like a bit of trauma that is, you know, like packed in and stored within the yoni. And for us women, we, until we decide to clear out old lovers or, you know, traumas, et cetera, it's stored in the yoni. And it's the same for men. But if a couple have been together for, say, like 50 years, if the woman dies, her energy leaves the man energy field within a couple of months. But for us women, we carry this around until we decide to clear out traumas
Such an important conversation, and I want to put emphasis on, you know, I think a lot of times for women, you know, maybe they weren't sexually abused or raped, but they may have been in circumstances, particularly when we're younger, maybe not when we're younger, maybe throughout our life, where it wasn't a real solid yes, you know, like it felt, like you said, maybe pressured, or maybe there was something else, some reason that the woman kind of let it happen, but it wasn't really this full body yes, right? And I think that whenever I am feeling into that, it feels like that really happens a lot more than we realize, right? Because if you really think about, I mean, not to say anybody can necessarily think about all the partners they've had sex with, maybe you can, maybe you can't, right? There's no right or wrong to that, no judgment whatsoever. But regardless, if you can remember each one of them and like, were you fully available and yes, or was there some sort of hesitation or maybe even like a intuitive sense that said no, but you said yes because of the pressure. So your body is partially closed, right? Your heart is closed and yet you're allowing, right, that penetration. It's such a, it speaks so strongly to our bodies and to our yonis of boundaries and, you know, that availability to hold that space for ourselves and say no, right? Or, you know, say yes when it feels right. And I've found that when women, we've just said yes much more than we really desire to. And as you said, the negative impact that's literally had on our yoni, right, is quite impactful and quite quite intense when it comes to opening up, first off, our sexual power, but also just the deep trust of self, right? Because if there's times when you allow penetration when you're not really feeling it, it's like paper cuts of distrust, right? You're constantly cutting yourself with these layers of like, I don't trust myself, that intuitive hit, what I really feel in my body isn't important to me. And that is really huge.
Yeah. And like a human desire is that we all want to be loved and we all want to be, you know, acknowledged and we all want to be included, right? So over thousands and thousands of years, I mean, this is actually what people are having wars about, politics, sex, and religions, right? So with that said, for thousands of years, people have used sex for a mean to be included or to be loved or acknowledged, right? And this also makes distorted and unconscious programs that is stored in each and one of us. It's stored within our yonis, it's stored within the lingam. And just by upholding these very unconscious programs and allowing sex or doing something that we don't want to, it's not a fully consent. I said yes first, but then I changed my mind or I'm distracted. Maybe I'm lying there and I'm thinking about my, you know, whatever, work, kids, et cetera, et cetera. So this means that the sacredness in sexuality is lost. It is distorted. It is also something that people has earned a lot of money on for a lot of time, like trafficking, et cetera, et cetera. So all of this have made like into the collective consciousness about sex and sexuality, and also that we have to look in a certain way, you know, as women or men. I have a young teenage daughter, and she's very, you know, oh, I must look like this and that. So all these illusions and all these things that are going on has been distorting the sex. And so it's not the sacred, the sacredness is gone. So it is up to each individual to clear out inner programs, unexpressed emotions, unhealed traumas, etc., etc. The more I heal, the more I resolve from old traumas and unexpressed emotions, the more access I have to the creative life force that is also behind sex. So in the book, Holy Fucking Sacred Water, The Sacred Connections, that I wrote with a friend of mine, we started to write about sexuality just, you know, like as in having sex, but we discovered that the sacred sexuality is behind all life in universe. It is the feminine and the masculine that is merging, and that's what we call the holy fuck. So for thousands of years, the essences of the feminine and the masculine have been distorted too. Like what I, for an example, a distorted way of the masculine energy, like the yang energy. We all have yin and yang, regardless of gender, right? So a distorted view upon the masculine and a very immature and unconscious part of the masculine energy is to be a good girl, like, or a good boy, like to have good grades, to be a good mom, to be a good girlfriend or boyfriend, to be good at your work, etc., etc. So every time that we in the Western countries especially are upholding this role of being good and effective and productive, we are upholding this very immature essence of the masculine energy. And another example of the immature and unconscious feminine energy that each and one of us holds within our energetic system and also transmits out into collective consciousness is the feminine like manipulation. And we can see it everywhere. Like, as a parent, eat up your food, you're telling your kids, or you won't get the dessert. Or if you have high grades in school, then you will get this. And we can see it in politics, we can see it on social media, we can see it in religions. Like, so these frequencies, this vibration of the immature masculine and feminine is upheld by each and one of us, and then we transmit it out. And this also makes distortion on sexuality, because sexuality is also everywhere, you know, in nature. For instance, like a seed in the ground, and then it's raining, so it's like the rain is penetrating Mother Earth for this beautiful seed to grow. And this beautiful seed turns out to be a plant or anything. So that's also the power of the feminine and the masculine that is merging in. So we can see it everywhere. We can see it, we call like also the holy fuck, like, you know, synapses in the brain. When this spark, the masculine, the fire, the spark connected with the feminine essence. But everything has been so distorted and conditioned, like in our programs. So we uphold energies, and we have lost the sacredness. And so it's so important to find back to the sacred space within me and within you. And it all starts with me, you know, clearing out the inner shit that I was talking about, the karma, the unexpressed emotions, etc. Because the more stress I have in my system, the more disconnected I might be from the sacredness and from my sexuality. So it's like, you know, happiness is an inside job.
Absolutely. And I love how you bring it just to like life in itself, right? Because I think when we talk about creative life force energy and ecstasy, for me anyways, bliss, all of these things, even sensuality, pleasure, sex, right? We assume it's only in the bedroom, right? Or it's only in actual sexual experiences, but it's not, right? It can be, and it's available to us in every single moment. that's the beauty of it. Like, that's the most beautiful thing about life, is life itself can be highly pleasurable and sensual and even orgasmic without actual, you know, sexual interaction. And when we really start to like see it this way, I find we get to start to curiously question, wow, do I feel like I am having sex with the moment, right? Do I feel like I'm making love to my life right now in this very, very deep and connected way? Or do I feel like I'm kind of pushing and smacking, right, and hardcore porning my life? It's a really great way to look at it. And, you know, and like to really honestly ask yourself that question, because they're two very different experiences. And I think what you're speaking about with the sacred sexuality, when we see that we are kind of just hardcore porning our way through life, we realize, wow, we're actually missing out on so much, right? So much. I mean, I just always, to me, it's like we're beings of connection. Like, we desire so much connection. And yes, that is with each other, but it is with life. We desire so deep, intimate connection with our life. Yes. And our experiences.
Yes, we are desiring it, we're longing for it, and at the same time, we're afraid of it. Most of us are. And so yes. In the book, Holy Fuck in Sacred Water, The Secret Connections to Everything, I'm sorry I don't have a book to show you, but also like the young energy, the fire, the spark is the young energy, and the essence of the feminine is like the water element, and spirit is also water. And one way that we all have been in fucked up programs and distorted programs, that our inner water is really polluted by our mindset, by how we live, by stress, by all these unconscious programs, etc. So on a cellular level, in our DNA, we are so polluted, and we hold all these frozen emotions, we hold all this trauma that has never been released. And I call them frozen emotions. So when I have a lot of frozen emotions or stagnated energy within me, it's also less accessible to the inner flow and the inner juiciness, right? So if I am full of stress and I'm not even aware of it, or if I have so many feelings that I have suppressed and they have frozen, so that means that my inner juiciness, my inner flow, I'm not connected to it. So the importance is also to clear out all these inner pollutions, to resolve our karmic, you know, patterns. Because not only am I here today with you, Alara, I am a result, you know, of my life experience in this lifetime. I also have my ancestral line of my mother's line and my father's line. It's in my DNA, right? And on top of that, we also have, I'm a yogi, so, and I know that energy never dies, it just takes different shapes and form. So, and then you add all different reincarnations that we all have had, where we have been perpetrators and we have been victims. And all of this information is stored within the body, in the water, in the cell. So, like, when the spark can come and sort of defrost these emotions. So it's like I have been abused, right? And then you can use the lingam, the pillar of light, because if I'm disconnected and I'm having sex with a man, for instance, and he's disconnected, so then I get his energy into my energetic system. But if I also meet and are connected in heart, we are present, we remember the sacredness, we create the sacred space together, then I can also be healed by this lingam. Because within the yoni and on lingam, there are spots that are, so when you are being penetrated or when you make love, it is like acupressure points. And these points go straight to your soul, and it's very healing. So like connected sex and sex that is a holy fuck. It can be like a highway to God or divine source or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely. And to me, it feels like when, you know, when I'm engaging with my partner, when we're in these very, I mean, our sex feels like that always, but there's other times it feel more than others. And, you know, when I reach these orgasms that feel very multidimensional, right? You're going into like the void and just this pure potential energy. I always get these images, and it just cracks me up every time I say this, because I always get these images of like the ripple effect, right? Like we're lighting up the whole neighborhood, because I truly believe that it's not just the two beings that are benefiting from the sacred connectedness and sexuality. It's, you know, I mean, it's humanity for one, because we're all connected, but it's also, you know, the beings that are in the household as well as the neighborhood. Like I literally see the energy move out, you know, and it's kind of like blasting the neighborhood with this love and this connection, this unification, right? Because that's really, to me, what the energy is like unification, which is, again, what we all truly desire and seek. It's just so glorious. I want to take you back to the conversation of relaxation, because I know the absolute imperativeness of relaxation. And for ourselves, for our bodies, right? For one, the ability to relax our mind, right? To not be in the monkey mind, but also to be able to like relax our bodies, right? For me, when I was moving through a lot of my awakening, my pelvis was very tight and tense. And in the fascia and in the soft tissue, I had to do a lot of healing to really like let go and relax my pelvis. And I'm still working on deeper levels of relaxation. To me, relaxation kind of just keeps going. You can, how far can you really surrender and relax at a cellular level, right? And how much it makes sense, like I get total bliss as I'm talking about this, like for the woman, again, even if you're on top sexually and in an act of sex on top, the more you can relax physically, but that of course is also emotionally and mentally because they go hand in hand, the more you can open up, right, your body to first off receive the man and also to really activate that beautiful creative life force energy, right, and allow that energy through our bodies.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. And we should also remember that like within each and one of us, we also have different like aspects. It's not like we are, this is all you get, because we are multidimensional, as we've already mentioned. So we have like the sacred slot, we have, you know, the conqueror, we have so many different aspects within us. And to, I totally, totally agree with what you're saying, Alara, that it has ripple effects, and we are bringing this connectedness, this unity, as you say, as what I call like a holy fuck, into the collective consciousness. So everybody is beneficiary from it. But most people like still have so many things stored in the water and the hips, you know, the water is the element for the hips and for the fascia. So there's a lot of water in the body. And if the water is frozen, again, you don't have access to the juiciness or to the flow, or maybe you're hindering yourself mentally, or maybe you have a lot of, you know, uncried tears stored in your body. So with that said, I think it's like my motto, and when I work with clients, to relax, because if I'm stressed, then I, you know, then I can't do anything. Right. Then I'm just, you know, in my patterns, I'm running around in the hamster wheel. The energy is stressed, and you can't unlock a stressed system with more stress. So first you have to relax. And for many people, they are so stressed, so they think that this is like the normal state of being. So it takes a long time. I'm not saying like take 3 like deep breaths. When I have yoga classes, I put at least half an hour in just breathing exercises for people to explore themselves from being, you know, in the state of being when they are, when they're entering the yoga class. And then when we do the breaths, and the breath in Swedish is andetag. And the word andetag literally means to connect with spirit. But most people have very limited breaths and they're not even aware of it. Most people are so stressed, so their breaths are affected, restricted, limited. So how can we, you know, juice up the spark if their movement is restricted? So first we need people to relax and to regulate the nervous system. It usually can take a long period of time, especially for us women, as we are carrying around a lot of stress. Our, you know, babies that we have carried, etc., etc. And then we need to release. So we need to release all these inner shit, the karmic patterns. We need to release the traumas, the unresolved emotions. We have to defrost the emotions and to release them. And the more I release of all of this, then I am able to receive, right? So many people tend to skip over the relax and the release phase, and they are just imagining or, you know, expecting to receive. And it doesn't work like that. You can't, it's like you can't skip any of the phases, because if you do, then it's like how we live our Western life, that we think that, you know, if I do this more effectively or like quicker and faster, that's just an illusion. Exactly. We have to, on the contrary, we have to tune into our nervous system. We have to relax for us, like the yoni, to open, as you say, and to receive your partner. And it doesn't matter if it's a woman or if it's a man that I'm receiving, I still have to be open. And for both men and women, if I am disconnected from yoni and heart, like both yoni for us women and lingam for men are big portals, right, as the heart. But if there's disconnection, then you won't be able also to circulate the sexual energy. So there's so many angles to this. And most people are not even aware of. They're just fucking. But to make it a holy fuck or sacred sexuality, that is a challenge. And it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of, you know, curiosity and persistence, because each and one of us is like a container full of polluted water on a cellular level. As I said, everything that we are carrying with us in our cell memory, in our DNA. So there's a lot of stuff to heal, to clear out. And then when we do, we have access to even more gifts. And the sacred sexuality, as I said, it can take its shape and form, like anything from sex itself to these beautiful creative processes or paintings or music, whatever. So it's not necessarily about penetration, but we are always using the feminine and the masculine energy in a merge to create.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, with the relaxation, you mentioned the nervous system, and you know, I completely agree. And then, you know, with the ideas of the clearing out of the waters, you know, this isn't something that you just, okay, I'm going to sit down and clear out my water and be done with it, right, and move forward. It's a process. It is the journey in and of itself. But can you give the audience maybe one tip or one thing that they can start to focus on, something that they can utilize perhaps in their life, or even a level of awareness they can start to see?
I would always start with a breath, because you were saying the word of unity, and the breath is the bridge that unifies the masculine and the feminine, the conscious and the unconscious, the inner and the outer world. And so if my breath is restricted and I start to breathe more, I start to create more space in my body, I start to create more possibilities for old things to come to the surface so I can clear them out. So always start with a breath, with conscious breath, like take help from somebody that is experienced or somebody that can hold space for you if you need to, because once you start to do conscious breathing exercises, a lot of old shit will come to the surface. And this is where some people stop because they feel it's uncomfortable. They feel that it's painful. They are scared, etc., etc. So this is why most people, when they start to do breathing exercises or relaxation exercises, then they like sort of shut down, right? So it's also a conditioned program that we are always escaping from something or trying to move towards something instead. Like this is also what the Buddha means enlightenment. And he discovered that this is what caused suffering for human beings. It is that we have aversion for strong feelings or feelings that might be uncomfortable or situations. So we try to avoid things, we escape, we numb ourselves, we distract ourselves from porn to food to alcohol to work, etc., etc. And then the other thing that causes suffering is the desire to have more money, to have bigger cars, bigger boobs, greater sex. So we are always striving for more. And this leaves us dry in the moments. Like we are always moving, you know, oh, when I had holiday, then it was great. Or when I'm going to have holiday, you know. So we are always moving from the past to the forth and back and forth. This means that we're very rare present here with what this. And most people are afraid to be in the present moment. That's why we are distracting ourselves with phones and social media and food, etc., etc. So again, start with the breath and everything that comes up, you know, feel it, acknowledge it, embrace it, observe it. Don't change anything. So that is one way to start.
I just adore the tool of the breath because guess what? It's always there and it's free. Like it's there until it's not there and then you're no longer a human. Good, you know, you've carried forward. And yet it's always there. It's always free. And yet it is so powerful, right? And, you know, and so I just love that you bring in the breath. And for me, with the very first time I started to breathe into my belly and activate my diaphragm, there was a great deal of tension there. And it was very hard to, you know, inhale, bring my belly out ever so slightly. I had conditioned myself to hold myself in my belly. And so I was told one day by my higher self to breathe into your diaphragm. And so I did this. And first off, there was very little movement and it was very uncomfortable. And it took me about 45 minutes of just sitting there, only concentrating on trying to make the diaphragm drop and relax and move. And I got movement after about 45 minutes. And the very next day I woke up and my skin had broke out right there in my solar plexus. It was so beautiful. And, you know, there was a lot of other things that happened that occurred with the releasing. And that was just the very beginning of breath work for me. Every time I've worked with breath work and, you know, engaged in deeper breathing, absolutely. The reason I'm bringing highlight to this is the potential for discomfort, is the potential like, it doesn't feel good to breathe that way, right? Well, right, that's because you're clamped up, right? That's because of the tension, right? And like that's really beautiful to become aware of because like, oh, it's not comfortable, there's not movement. Great. Now you're aware of the tension in your body and thus where, you know, energy can't move freely and where you're holding on to things, which I think is always really great.
Exactly.
Awareness.
Exactly. And I can never change anything unless if I'm aware. So it always starts with an awareness. It doesn't matter how smart I am or how many books I read or how intellectually I understand this, because there's one thing to mentally understand or embodied knowing. It's totally different. And so, yes, breathing is very, very important. And as many people are not breathing, or have a very, very restricted breathing pattern. And I have developed a yoga form for women because in yoga we are also used to the very masculine energy, big asanas and big postures and a flow, etc. So I've developed hormone yoga for lust and sensuality, where we work a lot with the breath and with intentions, and we move the intention between like ovaries, yoni, adrenals and thyroid. And a lot of people, because also as a yogi, we have a lot of different chakras. We have a lot of almost 80,000 chakras in the body, but the yogic perspective works with the 7 most important chakras, right? So, or not most important, but the biggest chakras. So all the chakras are very aligned and all the chakras are very connected and they communicate with each other. But I have discovered that there are some chakras that are having a slight more connection than others. So for instance, from the yoni, the water element, and the throat. And this is also connected to speaking your truth, to be authentic, you know, to say your desires, but also to hold your boundaries, right? So it's very connected to your ability to also make the sexuality sacred. Because if I don't have a voice, I don't have the courage to speak up, I can't say no when I need to or yes when I want to, then it's also going to affect my sacred sexuality, right? So there's so many things that are entwined and connected, and now when we're talking, it sounds very mental, but to get it embodied and to trust your body's inner knowing, it's so much more than just to mentally understand.
Yes, absolutely. And I love how you're bringing in the connection of the chakras and, you know, the importance of that we can use our breath to really, as you were saying, take your awareness anywhere, holding your awareness there, and then breathing, you know, quote unquote, into that place, even if it's our foot, where like, you know, our breath doesn't actually go to our foot. Right? But you can hold your attention there, your focus there, and breathe, you know, quote unquote, into your foot. And it's very powerful. And I just love the concept of the tool, I would say, not concept of the breath and the power. And I love how you're talking about, yeah, shifting your awareness through the ovaries and, you know, the womb and the cervix and the yoni and the heart and the pineal and all the different aspects, and feeling that connection between them is really beautiful when you're breathing into them. So Ulrika, how can people find you and connect to you?
Thank you. So my website is www.ulliskarlsson.com, and that is ULLISKARLSSON. So Ullis Karlsson, it's my nickname. I have my given name is Ulrika, and it means the magnificent in Swedish. So my journey has to be to reclaim and to bring sacredness back into my given name instead of using my nickname, which is Ullis. So yeah.
I love that. And you spoke about a yoga space for women, which I thought really sounded beautiful because, you know, I don't think a lot of people think of yoga as masculine, but, you know, I was doing Ashtanga yoga for a very long time. And boy, was that ever a masculine practice. You know? It's highly, highly masculine. And when I started to go into my feminine, I just got a solid no, like, you're not doing that anymore. You know, now there's a balance. But when I was moving into my feminine, it was a hard no. And I think it's so important to understand more feminine practices for ourselves. So I really love how you say that. And I really love how you're talking about the hormones and everything. So how can women connect to that with you?
So I do hormone yoga online, hormone yoga for lust and sensuality. And it's very good for women of all ages. Like, I've had women coming and doing Ashtanga yoga with me many years ago, and then they wanted a child, and then they came to hormone yoga, and then they, you know, after 7 weeks, I mean, the hormone yoga didn't impregnate them, but they started to juice up and they went home, and so they could become pregnant. And I have had women with severe problem in thyroid or adrenals, adrenal fatigue, depression, burned out. And I've had a lot of different symptoms, and because the communication of the ovaries, adrenal, and thyroid haven't been working. So once we start with the inner communication, you can heal pretty much anything. So it's online, and you can also connect with me on my website, ulliskarlsson.com.
Beautiful. I had somewhere that I'd heard, and this really resonated with me. I wish I would remember the source, but I heard that the medicine of the endocrine system and the awareness of the medicine of the endocrine system will be really the medicine of the future because of the vast importance of the endocrine system and our hormones and all of the different things that happen, right, with those chemical releases and chemical imbalances or balances in our body. So I always, try to put emphasis on that because I feel like in Western society, maybe we haven't talked a lot about, you know, we talk about hormones when you've got issues with hormones, right? But what about, you know, breathing and using a technique like yoga to keep and stay, reach and maintain homeostasis of our hormones, right? And how does that really shift our health? I think that's a really beautiful
Yes, and it's a big topic. Like even if you, as a doctor, work with this, it's a jungle because, I mean, we can go and explore things in the ocean or in the universe, but our hormones is also, I'm born and raised in Sweden, and here when you come into menopause, they have, you know, like not so nice words. We call women in menopause, like myself, for menopause cows, etc. But actually, each like phase for us women is a phase for deepening to our inner wisdom. And the menopause, I participated in a book called The Potent Power of Menopause. And I write about the huge transition that it is for women to enter our crown chakra, to enter the universal wisdom and the stored inner wisdom and knowledge. So it has also been distorted and lost its sacredness. So even though that the topic was sacred sexuality, like our societies has pretty much lost the sacredness in pretty much anything. Like, you know, we have distorted and been programmed to make things that have been sacred and holy unholy.
Yeah, it's just very briefly, we're running low on time here, but it's so important because, you know, in the tribes and in our ancestors and more of the people that were connected more to Gaia and the cycles of life, women, you know, the wise women, right, were the elders, right, and the connected ones, the intuitives, the medicine women, the healers. And so I love that you guys wrote that book because I think it's really important that we get the message out that that's actually a space of transcendence for women and a really opening up to their power, right? Instead of something of them like crumbling away or, you know, like shriveling or anything like that. Like we need to reprogram our society that it is a really powerful rite of passage. I haven't gone through it yet. I'm in perimenopause, but I'm like, bring it. I'm so excited. Let's go.
Yeah. It's an important, and also, you know, for thousands of years, we women, we have gathered around bonfires, sharing secrets, having transitions. And nowadays, like, this is also disconnection, like many people, because previously, both death and birth were at home, right? We were given birth at home and we died at home in, you know, different generations. But now, we are born in hospitals and we die at elder, you know, elder centers. So life and death has also been distorted and moved, you know, away from us, which has caused this huge gap, this connection, because we are afraid of dying, which means that we don't even live fully. So it's so much that has been distorted. So it's all about to reclaim the sacredness in everything, and it starts with me.
Yeah. And that's such a beautiful wrap back around to sacred sexuality, because it is about, you know, the sacredness of the moment and really of the fullness of the experience, right? And of the duality of the feminine and the masculine in the moment. And I think that as we progress through this with humanity, as we deepen into the moment and our connection with ourselves and the connection sexually, you know, that will bring a lot of transformation through these places, is how I see it. I see sexuality and our process with it to be deeply transformative for humanity back to, you know, our divinity of self in the most primal way, right? Bringing our divinity into our most primal experience and aspect of humanity, which is sex. Yeah, it's quite gorgeous. Yum. This was such a wonderful conversation, my love. I'm so grateful for you being on here today. And fellow ecstatics, please make sure that you reach out to her and absolutely check out this yoga. You know, it's something that I feel is very, very powerful. And I highly recommend you check out this yoga. If even maybe you don't have any specific quote unquote issues, right? However, like I said, this is a really big deal. The endocrine, you know, it's kind of like chemistry, right? And the mad scientist, and like there's all these chemicals going on and mixing together to make some sort of concoction. It's really powerful. And the more that we work with our bodies and the intelligence of our bodies and the communication of our bodies, then the more we can just create that homeostasis if it's not there and maintain it, particularly if you are, you know, perimenopausal, headed towards menopausal, if you're going through menopause, and even after menopause, you still have hormones to maintain, right? And balance in your body. So I think that's really, really special. Definitely recommend that you reach out. Share this episode as much as you can. And as always, I will see you next time on The Ecstatic Woman.
Thank you for being a part of The Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.